Out of here by 10 minutes to 12. Well, you don't know what time it is now anyway. Praise the Lord. We took the clock down. Glory, hallelujah. Before we read John chapter 10, let me say again that this is for those that are fans of Psalm 23. We have any fans of Psalms 23? Heard that. Without turning there, let's see how much of a fan we are of the 23rd Psalm. Anybody remember the first line?
The Lord is my shepherd.
Okay, so here we go. Let's see if we can't get the 23rd Psalm together before we read our scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Let's start over. We're not doing very good. You're following me, and I've read it so much this week, I can't keep it straight. The Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise the Lord. Appreciate again that we could know some of that psalm. And as we again look at this, I want to go ahead and preach not that psalm, but all the psalms that are included with that psalm. And perhaps you've heard this before. It's outlined very nicely in John chapter 10. And so let's go ahead and pick up our reading in John chapter 10. We want to look at the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd this morning. The good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. And it'd be worthy for us to memorize those three characteristics of our Lord. There's lots of things found in threes in your Bible. That's a good one right there when it comes to shepherds. The good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. Let's stand for the reading of God's word, and you follow along in your Bible. In John chapter 10, as I would read again, a portion of scripture that points to our Lord Jesus Christ as the good shepherd. John chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, and the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable, look at verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Father, praise you again and thank you for your word. Thank you for this illustration. Thank you for it's a parable, Father, that we need some effort to understand all of it. I pray as we put in that effort this morning, Father, that you'd enlighten our heart, fill us with again your love, and may we just stand in awe of your book, your revelation, and our shepherd. We'll give you the praise in the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen, amen. You may be seated as we get this again. Understand that a couple things happened in just the reading that we've done so far. First off, again, notice that Jesus gave a parallel or a parable, again, about being a shepherd. And notice again that there are several avenues, several things about a shepherd that were considered there. And the emphasis here is on that my sheep hear my voice. And then he goes on, and because in that verse that I emphasized there, they did not understand the parable. What was that? Verse 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And so he tried to clarify what he was saying. And the next verse, if you follow it, muddies the water even more again. Notice again that he starts out by saying, hey, I am the shepherd. And boy, we like that. We immediately think of the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It takes us back to that psalm, praise the Lord. But then it seems like Jesus, in trying to clarify what he's talking about here, branches off into this idea that I am the door. So which is it? Does he want to talk about being the good shepherd, or does he want to talk about being the door? Is he a shepherd, or is he a door to the sheepfold? Which is it? And the answer is yes, he is both. Amen. But notice the emphasis here on the good shepherd and what the good shepherd does. The good shepherd is not one here that leads the sheep. The good shepherd is not one that leadeth them beside the still waters. The good shepherd is not the one, again, who provides for and shelters and takes care of the sheep. In this parable, in this explanation, the good shepherd is the door. That's the emphasis that's given here. And notice it's given there in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So don't miss his first point about being a shepherd is that, hey, that's what a good shepherd does. He giveth his life for the sheep. Now this illustration that he's given here of him being the door, and you think about that, what does it mean to be the door? That's the way we go in, that's the entry point. And there is no other way. We used to sing in junior church when we were kids, one door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? And so the door there is, again, is a picture of entering into what? Heaven? No. Entering into the kingdom of God. And so there's a couple verses about entering into the kingdom of God. Jesus taught in John 3 that except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus taught in Matthew 18, except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He is the door, he is the entryway, and that is his role as the good shepherd. Make sense? So the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Turn to Psalm 23 that we couldn't get completely, that I couldn't get completely quoted correctly again. And let's go ahead and rehearse that just a little bit in this message. Psalm chapter 23. And I know I got a bookmark here in Psalm, so it's good to read a psalm a day. If you read a psalm a day, it'll get you, and a proverb a day after you finish the Psalms. That'll get you 150 Psalms in 30. That's 180 days. That'll get you through half a year, okay? Reading a Psalm a day. If you pick up again and start over again, you'll get read a Psalm a day and then a Proverb a day when you finish Psalms. And then there's another 180 days, and you've actually got 362 days. Then you could just take a couple days off and start all over again. It's good to read a Psalm a day. And the only problem I've ever had with that is when we get to Psalm 119 again. Beverly and I remember one time I stood up in fact, it was up here, what's a lake up at the end of the, up in Geneva there, Lake of the... No, it's the right at the tip of the lake, there's this big walking park. And I remember standing up there, coming back from Auburn, we had to read Psalm 119, or I guess it was my personal devotion. And I read Psalms 119 out loud in Geneva Park up there. The whole thing in one, it wasn't in one sitting, it was in one standing, praise the Lord. And so that's beside the point. Let's go ahead and look at Psalm 23. And if you're looking at Psalm 23, I want you to know that this is not the good shepherd. The good shepherd give his life for the sheep. And take a note, right in the margin of your Bible, the good shepherd shows up in Psalm 22. Look at Psalm chapter 22. And let's see if we can't see the good shepherd in Psalm chapter 22. It begins, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Look at verse 7. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Look at verse 14. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. And verse 14 says, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are at a joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Verse 16, for dogs have compassed me about. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. And they tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. I want you to understand that the good shepherd died already for the sheep. He died for you. Amen. He paid your sin debt. He took your place. He paid the wages of sin, that's death, for your life. He paid them. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, and he did. Boy, we ought to love the Lord Jesus Christ all the more. I can't help but when I read through the crucifixion account, just a holy hush falls over my Bible. And I'm careful again. In fact, I don't think I've hardly preached that section of Scripture because I don't know if I want to get my fingerprints all over it. It is just precious what Christ did. The crucifixion account has nothing to do with Mel Gibson.
Amen.
Has everything to do with what this book says. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Boy, we need to remember that. And again, that's a holy scene. And here in Psalms chapter 22, written again 1,000 years before that sacrifice, we find again a description of what Jesus, the good shepherd, did to give his life for his sheep. And listen, that's precious for us. Here as we worship him on this day, we ought to remember how precious it is that Christ died. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took my place. He took your place. You cannot visit the three accounts of the shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. You cannot visit that without, again, understanding that the good shepherd is not in Psalms 23. The good shepherd shows up in Psalms chapter 22. We got that? Write that in the margin of your Bible there in John chapter 10. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. A lot of people today have put down, a lot of the churches today have completely forgotten. They think we all worship the same God. Listen, we don't all worship the same God. We worship the God who has an only begotten Son. And we worship that Son because He is God and He gave His life for your sins and for my sins. As we went through again that simple plan of salvation, we came to a place where it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that you have got to make a personal decision for your soul, for that Savior. You've got to call upon Him. And listen, it ain't something your church can do for you. It ain't something your parents can do for you. It ain't something your friend can do for you. It isn't something that I could even do for you if I were to sit down and lead you in what to pray. Listen, you have got to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have got to believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. We have lots of people who can quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him," but they forget what it means to believe on him. That means that we're trusting him to take my sin debt, and we're calling on him. We're exchanging vows, as it were, that he would again redeem my soul, to save me from my sin debt. The good shepherd is all again about a substitutionary death for my sin. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so John chapter 10 is here referencing again what happened back in Psalm chapter 22, not 23, but 22, where Christ gave his life for our sins. It says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, again, verses that should be marked out in your Bible on the Romans road, "God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Verse 18, then again, is a culmination of that one man emphasis. And the verse 18 says, "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the only begotten Son of God, the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." There was a time when I was concerned about the churches in America, including Baptist churches. They were not putting an emphasis on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, my concern has broadened now in this day of apostasy, that they're not even putting an emphasis on the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that he died for you, that he died to take your place, because you're scum of the earth. And all have sinned, and all have come short of the glory of God. And again, the description in Romans is much deeper than that, so that we could label all of us here as scum of the earth. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, because he is the good shepherd. Notice that in that explanation, the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep becomes the door. That's the entry. It's the only entry. There is no other entry. There is no other religion that can help you along. There is no other Bible teaching that can take care of your sin debt. It is only the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he died as a propitiation. That he died in my place. That he died as my substitute. That he died for me. He died for my sins. And that he took my place in that death. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But wait, there's more. Hold your place there in Psalms, and then turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And as we look now at the next phase of his shepherding, we find a little bit more revelation about the illustration that he gave here about him being a shepherd of the sheep, about him leading the sheep, about him being in a place where my sheep hear my voice and they know me and I know them. Listen, that's the emphasis that's found in the illustration in John chapter 10. But notice, the good shepherd doesn't fulfill all that. The good shepherd only gives his life for the sheep. Let's look in the book of Hebrews and understand that he is also the great shepherd. And if you're on your way past Peter on your way, you might want to throw a marker in there. That's where we'll be headed next. Hebrews chapter 13, I said, and look with me at verse number 20. This is towards the end of the Hebrews. Hebrews, I like to call it a lettuce chapter. There's a lot of lettuce in the book of Hebrews. Things that a Christian ought to be doing. And it has to do with a Christian walk. It has to do with a new life. It has to do with a new covenant, a new relationship. rather than the old. And look here in its conclusion in chapter 13 and verse 20. It says, "Now," this is actually his benediction, "now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Listen, that the reason they call him there the great shepherd is this, because now he is alive, okay? He died for your sins, but listen, the death without the resurrection is nothing. He died for your sin, and he rose victorious over the death so that he can be the shepherd that leads us. And here in this description, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. The great shepherd is the one, again, who leads us. And it is through his blood, his everlasting covenant, that we are now made new creatures. Said in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We like that. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And now you've got a new job. Don't miss this. And for 2 Corinthians 5, lots of times people stop with being a new creature and they miss out on the new job. And the new job is this: for now on, you're going to be ministers of reconciliation. How are you going to be a minister of reconciliation if you can't tell someone how they need to be saved?
Amen.
Listen, that's how they get reconciled. If you can't tell someone what you did, you're not going to be a very good minister of reconciliation, are you? Listen, you need to rehearse God's simple plan of salvation. You need to rehearse those five steps we've just emphasized in that Romans road. And you need to understand and be able to explain to someone else that if you're going to be a minister of reconciliation, you need to tell them how they can be saved and reconciled to God. And so listen, this shepherd now, he is the one we find in Psalms 23. Turn back to Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Present tense, right now, he is it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, sometimes God has got to make you do things. And here it is. He takes the sheep and he makes them lie down in green pastures. He leadeth them beside the still waters. Look at that in the context that it's given there. I lost it again. Look at the next verse. Number one, he maketh us to lie down in green pastures. That's for sheep. But for people, here's what he does in the next illustration, the reflection of that, I guess, on our humanity is that he restoreth my soul. Listen, you need your soul restored as you live in this world. As we walk through this world, listen, it's easy to get dirt on us in this world. I was looking at my car when I went down to pick up Grandma, and I thought, oh boy, that is a filthy car. Hurrying around, get everything done before we leave, we did not get to the car wash again. And so, listen, when we're wandering around this world, we get the filth of things on this life and our soul. And here, we need our soul restored, and he does that for us. He maketh us to lie down. He restoreth our soul. Look at the next one. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Verse 3 says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And listen, we need led in the paths of righteousness. You won't find yourself there on your old nature. You won't find yourself there accidentally. You won't find yourself there if you just follow the things you used to do. You won't find yourself there if we just follow our heart. Listen, we need to follow our shepherd. And we need, again, have our soul restored. And we need, again, to have be led in the paths of righteousness. And we need to walk there. We need to go there. Let me give you one of the good paths of righteousness. You're in it right here. That we would gather together on the first day of the week to worship God. That is a path of righteousness. It's commanded of God, and it's something that we do on the first day of the week, not the last day of the week, not the Sabbath. This is not the new Christian Sabbath day, a day of rest. This is a day of work. This is a day of worship. This is the Lord's day. And so again, notice that we again need to be led in those paths. And let me just go ahead and branch out. I got a note here written from my pastor, Pastor Zimmerman, out in Ohio. Again, I think I preached about an outline by him last week. My Bible is filled with outlines by Pastor Zimmerman. We was there for, 4 years, I think. And so we're talking about the great shepherd. Pretty soon we're going to talk about the chief shepherd, okay? That'll be our next step, the three phases of the shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life. The great shepherd is the one who leadeth us. And we hear his voice and we follow him. And we know him and he knows us. In fact, so much so that we can be called the friends of God. That's the great shepherd. And then coming up is the chief shepherd. Listen, there can't be a chief shepherd unless he's a chief of some other shepherds. Does that make sense to you? And so I am I refer to myself as a pastor, which would be a under shepherd. And so I look at Psalms 23 and say, hey, that is my job for this flock as the under shepherd. I am to fulfill all of them. And I've got this outline in my Bible that says things that an under shepherd needs to do. And there's five of them. And I'm not preaching this to you so much, just so you know what your pastor's job description is. Number one, he is to guide the sheep. Number two, he is to lead the sheep. That means he goes first again. He is to lead the sheep. Number three, he is to guard the sheep. Number four, he is to graze the sheep. There's an outline that all these began with G's here, and I missed the second one. Graze the sheep. That means he's to feed the sheep. That's what we're doing here today, is we're feeding off the man of God's word. And we're to, again, feed the sheep. A pastor is to feed the sheep, graze the sheep. And then lastly, he is to gather the sheep. And so again, those five things fall under an under-shepherd, but they also, again, are descriptions of a shepherd. So we have a shepherd, praise the Lord, of our soul. And you have an under-shepherd, a guardian of your soul, who's going to answer for your soul. And that is your pastor. And so here we are, and this is in this life. This is where we're walking today. Psalms 23 fits where we're walking today, where we're living today. The promised land, again, is the same thing for Israel. It's not going to the promised land and being in heaven and crossing that Jordan River and gone to glory. No, that's not it. The promised land is where we live, is where we fight the wars, is where we clear out the land, is where we get some victories for God. That's where we're living. And listen, it's a war down here. I had one pastor tell me once, he said, life is a battle. That's not all life is, but life is always that. Life is always a battle. And listen, you're signed up now to be a soldier in the army of the Lord. And lots of things, well, we're just sitting around and waiting on. Listen, we're in the army. We're in the army of the Lord, and we need to be a good soldier, as Paul challenged Timothy. And so here again, we're in this life, and that's where all of those things about the 23rd Psalm fit in. And notice it ends with looking forward to a day that way, hey, we're going to win this thing. We're going to be in the end again, where surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Turn with me to 1 Peter, and let's look at the third aspect of this shepherding thing that shows up. We saw that the good shepherd is described in Psalm chapter 22, where he giveth his life on a cross of Calvary. He giveth his life for his sheep. The great shepherd from Hebrews 13:20 is again descriptive of Psalm 23. And now we want to look at this chief shepherd reference, and that's found in 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. There is coming, praise the Lord, the chief shepherd. He is going to return. Right now we have a shepherd of our soul who is leading us in a life that's filled with the shadow of death. We are walking again in a world that's defeated and rallying against God. And listen, we mentioned this in Sunday school, and I often hear this of a lot of preachers. Where were you when they took prayer out of the school? Listen, we should have been on our knees.
Yeah.
We don't have to march on Washington to do God's will. You don't have to march on Albany to try and change the direction of our country. If our country is going to get changed, it's going to get changed on our knees.
Amen.
Not in our demonstrations, not in our using the world's method again to change policy and politics. We need to be on our knees. And here we are, we're in the middle, our nation is in the middle of a war right now against good and evil. And evil is going to win.
Because we're not doing
How do I know that? Is it because we're not marching on Washington? Because we're not writing our senators? That's why evil. That's not why evil's going to win.
We're not on our knees.
Evil's going to win because this Bible says evil's going to win.
Yeah.
Evil's going to win because every nation is going to turn against the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord, there's a stay right now, and there is a time when righteousness. But understand this, it is only a backlash. It is a backlash of the progressive path of evolution that's leading us to be a grander people, to send out space probes so we can find where life came from. Listen, all of that garbage is anti-God. Every platform, every plank in the platform of the liberals' agenda is anti-God. Whether it's killing babies or figuring out what sex you are after you turn 30 years old or anything, everything they have in their platform is against God. If it's a two-state for Jerusalem, it is against God. God said there's one state going to be in Jerusalem, and that's His chosen people. And so again, when we look at the platforms, understand that it's all against God. God forms the weather.
That's right.
Carbon dioxide don't form the weather.
Amen.
God forms the weather. And sometimes us Christians, we've been brainwashed a little bit by the world till we think, yeah, maybe that's true. You know, maybe we are. We can get fossil fuel phobia too and rally against the coal mines. But listen, every platform they have is against God. How did I get off on this subject? Where was I anyway? Listen, there is coming a chief shepherd.
Yeah, man.
And there is coming an end. And our responsibility in this life is not to march on Washington. It's not to change the course of nations. It's not to change the course of government. It's not to rally against big government. It's to preach the gospel to every creature. And every one of us in this room can do that.
Amen.
You can call your congressman, and I don't mind that sort of thing, but don't make that the main thing. And remember that the main thing we have to do is to be ministers of reconciliation. That's it. That's the only job description He's given to us. And so, a lot of preachers that I know are trying to get me involved in politics. And listen, I ain't going to go. I've got a job to do that's more important than what's going on in our country and the war between the left and the right. We've got a job, and that is to preach the gospel to every creature. Just do our job. Be in our corner doing our thing, and God will take care of the demonstrations that need to be done on Washington. And listen, when He gives a demonstration, it is flat a demonstration.
Yeah.
We're just starting in Sunday school the book of Isaiah. I'll tell you what, you read through Isaiah and understand that was written just before the fall of the Northern Empire. It was God's warning. And you watch for the time that this shows up. Then shall all people know that I am the Lord. And God does something and says, then they'll know that I am the Lord. Listen, what you can do is trivial. But when God does something, they will know that I am the Lord God. And so we should be on our knees for our country, certainly. But understand again that the only demonstrations that we need to do is a demonstration of the love of the lost and being ministers of reconciliation. Off my soapbox, look at we're in 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 4. And when the chief shepherd, he shall appear. when the chief shepherd, we've seen the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. We've seen the great shepherd leads us. And we hear his voice and we follow him and know him. That's the good shepherd. He leads us through the valley of the shadow of death here on this old earth. He makes us again to be perfect, it says, after his pattern. And listen, the only form of predestination I believe in is that we are predestined to be in the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we're predestined for. We're going to be there. The idea is when the chief shepherd does show up, that your transition from being in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ isn't such a horrible shock to your system. That you've already sort of gotten there, almost to the point where a person might look at you and call you a Christian because you're Christ-like. Because you walk like him, you talk like him, you react like him. When they cut you off in traffic, I don't know if in Jerusalem they ever cut him off in traffic, but I know they do today. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, and he's going to appear. Listen, we're waiting for a trumpet. We was just reading again in Numbers. Numbers, wow, we're reading in Numbers. I know, just deal with the Hebrew names. There we started reading about the Feast of Trumpets. And boy, I just got all excited. You know, there's going to sound a trumpet. That's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for the sound of the trumpet. And that trumpet's going to say this, come up hither.
Amen.
And so again, we're waiting for this appearance of the chief shepherd. And look what happens in verse 4. Ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. It's not that he's going to receive a crown of glory. Who's going to receive the crown of glory? That Y-E means y'all, okay? That's plural. And so it's plural, second person. Y'all's going to receive a crown of glory. And he's coming, the Bible says, and he's got a crown coming with him. And this is, again, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But wait, turn back to Psalm chapter 23. And jump ahead and understand that the chief shepherd is in Psalm chapter 24. Over the margins of my Bible back here in Psalms, I have written out the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. Look at Psalms 24. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. Now listen, pay attention. Don't miss this right now. Right now, the earth is not the Lord's. Who's the prince and power of the air?
Satan
is here, okay? Satan has not been bound up. And so right now, the earth is Satan's. Remember, Satan took Christ to a high pinnacle and said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. And a lot of people say, well, they weren't his to give. Yes, they are. All the kings of this earth are again under the dominion of Satan right now. And this verse here says there's coming a day when he's going to come back. Remember, it's like, and it's given this parable that the fellow was going to receive his kingdom and he gave out talents to the stewards and then he went away. But in that illustration, he's going to come back again. The stewards are to be faithful with what they've been given. But he's going to come back again, and he is going to be made the king of this world. That's Psalm chapter 24. In Psalm chapter 24, we find again the chief shepherd at his appearing. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? There again is a judgment of Satan, who said, I will be like the Most High God. There again is a judgment of man who says the same thing. I have created myself and we have evolved here. And we are the creators of life. And there is no creator that should be worshipped. Listen, there's coming again the king who's going to set everything straight. Verse 4, he hath clean hands and a pure heart. He that hath a clean hands and a pure heart. Who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Listen. Bible says, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, that he was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God. Here it is, the righteousness of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek the face, thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your hands, O ye gates. Remember, there's 12 gates in that city coming down from heaven. Lift up your hands, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Look at verse 8. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. As there's talking about the entry into the temple that's described in Ezekiel chapter 40 through the end of that book. Describes a temple in the eastern gate where the prince is going to come in, and no one else is going to use that door because that's the gate that he is coming in. Again, the question's repeated in verse 10. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is King of glory. You know the King of glory?
Amen.
Boy, it's good to know him. And you can know him as the good shepherd who giveth his life for his sheep. The great shepherd that leads his sheep in a troubled world. And the chief shepherd who's coming in glory at the sound of a trumpet. Father, praise you and thank you for what we looked at here. I thank you again, Father, for these psalms that reflect your position as our good shepherd, as our great shepherd, and as our chief shepherd. Father, we love you. We worship your Son, our shepherd. In the name of Christ, we praise you. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. And let's just sing. I'm sure it's in the book somewhere if you could find it. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. Oh, how I love Jesus. If I could fit the word shepherd in there somehow, I would. But let's sing. Oh, how I love Jesus. This is, again, our invitation song. If God's tugged on your heart, listen, if you're here and He's not your good shepherd. Listen, He can't be your Psalm 23 great shepherd until first He is your Psalm 22 good shepherd that giveth His life. And you have accepted His ransom for your soul's need. If that's your need, you come to an altar today and ask Him to save you. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a good Bible word. Then we need a great shepherd. And there's a crown for those that are ever looking for the chief shepherd. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music.